On in this series that we've started on Psalm 23, and today I want to talk to you about God's solution to the stress of our hurts and our pains. I think this is a big one too, as we've discussed different stresses as we've gone through this, because the reality is everybody in existence gets hurt from time to time. And we live in a fallen world, right? Because of original sins, things don't go according to plan. People get sick, accidents happen, everything gets kind of blown up and cattywampus and all sorts of different things, right? I mean, it just doesn't go the way that God designed it. Because way back in the day, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and original sin entered into the world. And because of that, we just get hurt in our life. We experience pain in our life. Sometimes it happens by accident, sometimes by illness, sometimes by mistake. But as you take a look at this, I think by far the deepest hurts that we have, they come from other people, don't they? As a result, relationships can be and often are one of the greatest sources of stress in our life. It's interesting, I've talked to 3 or 4 different people this morning and they've shared stresses about kids or sisters or brother-in-laws or parents just because things aren't the way they should be in that relationship. And it's interesting, and this is the stress that they seem to associate so often with the holiday season. I was talking to a guy after the first service, and he was saying that his wife just struggles during this time of year, something fierce. She goes into a deep, dark depression every Christmas season. And it doesn't make sense objectively, right? You take a step back and you go, Jesus came, man. He arrived and he's crying out, we matter, that he loves us, that he cares, that he is true to his promises. I mean, it's an amazing time. The truth is always simple, right? It's just that life complicates the truth. And never more is that true when it comes to our relationships. Now, relationships can also be an amazing blessing. Let me just say that too. And they are absolutely something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. But the reality is that people often do hurt us, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes accidentally, sometimes very much on purpose. So the question really becomes, as we deal with this stress, what do we do with all that hurt? How do we cope with all that pain? How do you get to a point, and here's the thing, where we can move past it and again, reclaim the joy of Christmas or reclaim the joy of our relationship, or whether it be marriage or kids or parents or friends, or to where we can reclaim the joy so that we're not always focused on the negative. If you're there this morning, or if you can understand that this morning or wherever you are, God says, let me do 3 things for you. God's saying to you, let me do these 3 things for you this morning. And I say it that way because we can't really do this by ourselves, right? We can't fix it. We can't seem to solve it. If we could, we wouldn't still be haunted or bothered by all these hurts that are still in our lives. And I think that's what's so frustrating about this particular stress or this particular hurt. But then again, I think that's exactly where God enters into the picture for us. You'll notice here in Psalm 23, verse 5, that the scene changes from the field to the feast. And God does that on purpose. David is using the image of the banquet to give us 3 illustrations or symbols that illustrate for us 3 things that we need to allow God to do in our life. So when I say allow God to do, we're going to be talking about trust. We're going to be trusting the things that he says, trusting the things that he's promised. But if we'll allow him through this trust, this faith in him, he can overcome anything, like the song we just sang talked about. So David writes these words. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. See, these are the symbols that represent what God wants to do in your life today, this morning. This is how we get healed from our hurts. So where do we begin? Let's talk about them. One of the first things that God would share with you this morning, one of the first things we need to let him do is this. We need to let Jesus settle the scores in our life. Talking about our enemies, talking about the people that have hurt us. This is where we don't try to get even. This is where we don't seek revenge. This is where we don't retaliate against those that have hurt us in the past. It's where we instead trust God to even the odds. It's where, almost inexplicably, we're able to give this stuff over to him. We need to give these pains, these hurts, these past events over to the God that can do something about them. So David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about that. Sheep have a ton of natural enemies. Wolves, coyotes, bears, snakes, ticks. I mean, sheep are very defenseless animals. They can't defend themselves from pretty much anything. They don't have teeth that are sharp that they can bite with. They don't have claws. They can't kick. They can't run very fast. They're absolutely one of the most defenseless animals in the whole animal kingdom. They really can't do much of anything. So, the truth is, they can't be safe unless somebody protects them. So the job of the good shepherd is to go and find a good tableland, a mesa, right, with lots of grass, to drive out all of the enemies and then to bring the sheep there so that they have a safe place to eat. He scouts the pasture and he drives out the enemies. And so God says first, let me handle those that have hurt you. Think about those hurts that you're carrying that maybe surface at Christmas or maybe surface when a name is mentioned or a word is said and just drives you back into your past. God says, let me handle those that have hurt you. In Romans 12, it says, never pay back evil for evil. Never avenge yourself. Leave that to God, for he has said, he will repay those who deserve it. In other words, God's just saying to us, God knows those people that have hurt you. Maybe you're thinking of parents in the past or siblings or people at school. I don't know. He saw it when it happened. He cares about the pain that you've been feeling. He cares that you haven't been able to quite let it go. But know that he can settle the scores. In fact, the Bible says that one day he'll do that for everybody, right? Because there is a heaven and there is a hell and there is a judgment day. And I will face it. And he has more resources, too, to settle those scores than you can possibly imagine. But here's why he ultimately wants you to do it. Because he knows you cannot recover from your pain unless you release those offenders. You cannot recover from your pain and still be seeking revenge. So you've got to decide, do I want revenge or do I want to be healed? Do I want to get even or do I want to move past this? Because you can't do both. Why? Because resentment keeps the hurt alive. It just does. When you retaliate against the hurt, all you do is you escalate the pain. It never seems to make it better. It doesn't relieve the pain. It just escalates. It makes you more and more frustrated, more and more angry, more and more hurt. In fact, there's only way you'll ever get relief from the pain of the past. That's through seeking forgiveness, right? Not for you, but for you giving forgiveness to them, for you releasing them from that event. And when I say forgiveness, I don't mean that you're saying that it's okay that you hurt me. When somebody says, I'm sorry, don't say, oh, we're cool. No, just say, I forgive you. Don't minimize the event. Don't say, oh, it wasn't that big a deal. Don't somehow take it away. It hurts you. Say, I forgive you. Thank you so much for saying that. Forgiveness is not saying what you did is not a bad deal. Forgiveness does not mean it's saying it's okay that you hurt me. Forgiveness is not saying any of this stuff. But forgiveness is saying and doing, giving your hurt to the God who can do something about it. It's letting him settle those scores in your life. It's where you learn to trust God, to handle the situation and to give you the strength so that you don't try to handle it all by yourself, so that you don't hold on to that hurt and just try to get even, whether it's in your thoughts or in actual actions. So David says again, let him prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of your hurt. In other words, let him give you peace in the midst of those who have wronged you. Let him give you forgiveness and pity instead of resentment and anger. And maybe you're still asking, oh, Pastor, how in the world can I do that? Why in the world would I do that? God says, here's three reasons. Because you've been forgiven by God. God's forgiven you, and what he wants is for you to forgive other people. In fact, there's two things that makes a hypocrite of a Christian. It's not sin. By the way, we're all sinners here. This is a hospital for sinners. It's not saying I'm sorry, and it's not saying I forgive you. It's not forgiving and it's not receiving forgiveness. That's what makes a hypocrite of a Christian. God's saying, I did everything for you so that I could forgive the mess that you are. And you guys are as close to perfect as there is, but the reality is we're still messes. I died for you to forgive you. None of us would want a highlight of all of our worst of sins. None of us would want that. I forgive you. My only ask is you forgive those others in your life that probably have sinned in less ways than you. Second, resentment makes us miserable. It just does. We rehearse things over and over. We're still bothered by stuff that happened 20 years ago. The person that did it doesn't even think about it anymore, but it's still bothering us. and you're going to need forgiveness in the future. Man, Jesus is pretty brutal about this. Matthew 5, 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." But in the same sermon, on the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us the Lord's Prayer, and then he talks about stuff after it and says, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. We're burning the very bridge we need to cross, walk across, to get to heaven if we refuse to forgive. In other words, God's saying, what you dole out is what you're going to get back. The longer you try to get revenge, the longer it's going to hurt you. And so God says, first and foremost, let me settle the score. Let me take these hurts that have been bothering you. Let me bring you peace instead of the turmoil that you've been experiencing. And then he goes on to a second one. He says, let me soothe your wounds. It says, you anoint my head with oil. Shepherds put oil on the heads of sheep for two reasons, to soothe and to heal. Because the worst enemy of the sheep is the fly. They hate the flies. They can't shake off the flies, either by their tail or by their hoofs. They just can't seem to get rid of them. And summertime means fly time for the sheep. The flies get up their noses and they lay eggs and the larva drives them crazy. Sometimes in the summertime, you'll see sheep actually beating their heads against the rock, trying to get rid of the flies, trying to get some kind of relief. They're going crazy because of the flies. They can't do anything about them. Now, before I move on, I want you to wrestle with the flies in your nose and just how irritating that would be. And I want you to kind of think about some of the other things in your life right now that are irritating. Because so often it's the little things that really drive us nuts, aren't they? I was talking to two people this morning and had car issues this week. That's frustrating when your car doesn't work and you don't know how to get it done and they don't know what's going on, so they got to fix it and it's going to be days before they get it back to you. So what shepherds do is they take olive oil and they mix it with sulfur and they anoint the head of the sheep, and it's kind of like an insect repellent. This represents the shepherd saying, I'll take care of all of your irritations. The things that irritate you, I'll take care of them. See, this is God saying this to you. He loves you. He sees all the stuff in your life. But sometimes we get so fixated on the negative, we don't see the cool things that he does. The other way oil is used is a salve or ointment. When a sheep has an open wound, the shepherd would use this as an ointment. It would protect them, and it was soothing. So David says, you anoint my head with oil. And when he's saying that, he's saying, you're going to soothe all my wounds. You're going to make this better. As I was talking to these two people, it was interesting. They had a whole list of things that was going wrong. And I said, well, did God get you through that one? They're like, well, yeah. And then, did God get you through this one? Well, yeah. Did God get you through this one? Well, I think he's going to, yeah. So they kept seeing God respond in each and every one of the things that happened to them this week. They kept getting to the other side of it, but they were still fixated, not on the healer, but on the pain, on the frustration, on the fact that things weren't going according to plan. But you know, the soothing things is the exact same thing that Jesus wants to do in your life as well. As you go through the Gospels, he wants to soothe and he wants to heal your hurts. So what kind of bandages does Jesus use as he's trying to approach these things, these emotional wounds in your life where people have hurt you? And the simple answer is he uses the church, okay? He uses fellowship. That's one of the first things. When you get together with other Christians, you find a support network. You get a place where you're able to share those hurts, those pains, those difficulties. You get that emotional support. So one of the first things you need to do when you're hurt by somebody is you need to share it with a Christian friend, somebody who can point you back to God, somebody who can remind you that he's got you, somebody who reminds you that he's working, even in the midst of the times where you can't see it. But don't isolate yourself. I see way too many people get frustrated or hurt or in pain, and they completely isolate themselves from the world, and then it just stays there. It resides there. It's like when I talk to my daughter about things that are going on in her life that are just, she just doesn't want to talk about them. They're too painful, or her feelings got hurt, or it was a bad dream. And I keep saying, put it on this imaginary table. I mean, get it out from the inside so that we can talk about it, because when you do, you diffuse its power. You diffuse its power. So he uses fellowship. He uses prayer too. You know, when you're hurt, you need to talk it out. As part of the message I'm sharing with my daughter. But if you don't talk it out to God, then you're going to take it out on other people. You don't want to do that, believe me. So God just says, tell me how you feel. I mean, I was already there. I know what happened. But get it out. Tell me how you feel. That's what David does in the Psalms. He's very honest about his feelings. He's unloading on God continually. And God says, that's okay. I love it when you talk to me. That's prayer. He uses worship too, doesn't he? Seems like there's a healing power in getting together and worshiping. I mean, think about the times where you've come in and you're consumed by the hurt or you're frustrated with how the week's going. All of a sudden, the music starts, and all of a sudden, your tears follow that right behind it. Something about getting in here and being in God's house and being with you all and experiencing the music, it just does something. There's an emotional healing that happens here. God uses the praise and the forgiveness and his word to build you up and to bind your wounds. He gives you promises to cling onto, to hold onto as you need them this week. And he also uses ministry. Ministry is when you help other people that have been hurt. Because when you help people that have been hurt, just like you, it somehow reduces your hurt as well. I think sometimes the reason God allows us to go through difficult times, I think so often they're of our own making, but I think God promises, I will work all things for the good of those who love me, right? And I think sometimes he takes some of those brutal hurts that happened to us, some of those brutal hurts that we caused ourselves, and he allows us to care for others that are going through the same situations. He allows us to share hope with them that are in the same journey that we've just gone through, and it's brutal, and we know how brutal it is, but we can share with them the hope. We can share with them how God's gotten us through. We can share with them the other side. Truth is, we're just a hospital for hurting, and so the church is about fellowship and prayer and worship and ministry, and God uses those things as bandages for our soul when we come through the doors. Because the reality is that there's always going to be scars after you've been hurt, always. And when you have a scar, you always have this choice. Every time you look at the scar, and you're going to see the scar because you know it's there, you can either remember your hurt, or you can remember your healer and the healing that he's done. That's your alternative. You can look at the scar. In fact, every time you look at the scar, I encourage you today, think of God's grace. Think not of the horrible thing that's happened, but how he's gotten you through it. The love that he's shown, the comfort that he's given, the strength that he's provided, all those things, the blessings that he's somehow supplanted that horrible stuff with. So when you see the defeat or the failure or the divorce or the hurt, I want you to think, I am a trophy of God's grace. Instead of focusing on the hurt, again, you focus on the healer. And then David goes on. He says, let Jesus satisfy your needs. He says this, my cup overflows. In the Bible, when there was an overflowing cup, it was a symbol of total satisfaction. And it means I got everything I need. In the Middle East, it was mostly desert, right? And so when they would pour something like water or wine and it would go overflowing, that just meant you were wasting something. And you didn't ever waste something unless you had plenty of it in the back room, right? I mean, you wouldn't waste water or waste wine unless you had plenty of it because you're in the middle of a desert. So when you need to get over hurt, you need to look at the God who can meet all of your needs. And he's got plenty of resources. He never runs dry. Why is this so important? Because one of the major reasons that we get hurt in this life is because we expect other people to meet needs that only God can meet. No person can give you absolute security in life. No person can give you all the love that you need in this life. No person can make you completely happy in this life. And if you expect somebody to do that, anybody to do that, you're going to be bitterly disappointed and you're going to experience hurt. Because the truth is, there are some needs that only God can meet. That's the way he designed the world. That's the way he designed us. There's some needs that only he can meet. And so when we expect other people to meet those needs, we're going to be resentful because they just cannot do it. Again, they can't love you unconditionally 24 hours a day. They can't make you secure 24 hours a day. They can't make you happy 24 hours a day. They can't meet all your needs 24 hours a day, but God can. And his love and his power and his compassion, they never run dry. He never has a bad day. He's always there for you. He never lets you down. And what he says is if you will look to him, continue to look to him, then you will continue to experience a life where your cup continues to overflow. Like overflow. With what? Scripture tells us. Overflowing with hope. That's what it says in Romans 15:13. God will help you overflow with hope in him through the Holy Spirit's power within you. You never run out of hope because you know he'll never let you down. There's never a moment in your life that you have to be hopeless because God is with you. What else? With love. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, he says, may the Lord make your love to grow and overflow with joy. Ask using my name and you will receive and your cup of joy will overflow. John 16:24. Let me finish with this. Have you ever wondered when you go to somebody's house when it's time to leave? I mean, it's a Thanksgiving question, right? Or if somebody comes over to your house, have you ever wondered, how do I get them to leave, right? Is it like 11 o'clock and they're not showing any signs that they're leaving and you have no idea? There was a custom in the Middle East that everybody knew and had to do with filling the cup. If you came to somebody's house, even if you were a total stranger and in the desert, strangers took care of strangers, the first thing you would do is you would offer them a cup of water or wine. They'd drink the cup and you'd fill it. They'd drink the cup and you'd refill it. As long as the cup was being refilled, it meant they were welcome to stay. Genius, right? Okay, now, if you went to somebody's house and after several refills, they left the cup empty, it meant it was time for you to go. And there was no mystery about it, right? But if the host decided that he really liked the person, he wanted him to stay a long time, as long as they wanted, they would take the cup and fill it, not only to the rim, but they would let it overflow. You don't waste water in the desert, you don't waste wine in the desert, but when an overflowing cup was shown, it was a symbol that you could stay as long as you wanted. It just meant you were special. When God says to you this, I'm going to fill your cup to overflowing, it just means you matter to God. It means that you are special to Him. He cares about what you're going through. He has power to help. And if you're hurting because somebody's hurt you this morning, Jesus invites you to His banquet. And He says, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'll anoint your head with oil and your cup will overflow. Again, He's just saying, I'll settle the score. I'll soothe your wounds. I'll satisfy every one of your needs because you are special to me, because I love you, because I see and I care. It's a pretty good deal, to be honest. And it is God's promise to all those that cling to Him and trust Him as they go through this life. Guys, just take a step back and realize how much God loves you. You are forgiven because of that love, because He cares, because He wants to spend eternity with you in heaven. Never stop trusting Him. Try to trust Him with more and more in your life and experience all the good things He talks about in His Word. And that's my prayer for you today, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me pray. God, we love You so much. And you know, as we go through this Psalm series, Psalm 23 series, it's just kind of fun, I guess, looking at it and seeing how You just share all these answers to the stresses of our life. And the holidays, they do. They bring up some of these hurts in ways that we just don't experience at other times of the year. They thrust us back into the past, whether it be 5 years, 10 years, even 50 years in the past. And we just can't seem to shake the pain or can't seem to shake the hurt, and it stresses us out. Or we come into the season and our marriages are struggling and it just exacerbates everything. Or our kids are doing stuff that are making us worry and it makes everything harder and makes us stress even more. Or our parents are getting older and we're worried about that or whatever the deal, Lord. So we just pray as we come into this house, Lord, as we'll sing some songs, as we receive your body and blood in a few moments, that You would just remind us that You've got us, that You are able to heal, that You are able to settle the accounts of the past, that You are able to restore joy to our lives, that You are able. And let that reside in our hearts. Father, send Your Spirit to increase our trust in those truths today. And that is our prayer. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.